The Dark Web Files. Exposing the internet's hidden underbelly.
What's the one thing that can wipe out a decade of hard work, your life savings, and your reputation, all before you've had your morning coffee?
It's not a fire. It's not a flood. It's a single malicious email, an unlocked digital door.
That's where I want to go today. The unseen fallout small businesses take on when cybercrime hits. I think we treat it like background noise.
You know, Mark, this topic, it hits close to home for me. My uncle runs a small accounting firm, the kind of place that's been serving the same families for generations. Last year, he got hit with a ransomware attack. It wasn't some big, faceless corporation. It was just him and his four employees. And the helplessness he described was heavy. It wasn't just about the money. It was the trust with his clients getting punched through.
Exactly. Or, I think so. I could be overreading it. What gets me is the asymmetry. We hear about giant breaches and go numb. Meanwhile, criminals target the backbone of our towns, the bookstore on the corner, the family-run restaurant, the solo contractor, folks without an IT department or a seven-figure security budget.
Seen as soft targets, and the consequences land in places we don't count. Sleepless nights, savings drained, a dream curdling into dread.
That's the heart of what I want to dig into with you. First, a small business owner who fought back after losing almost everything.
And can we bring in one of the leading cybersecurity voices with practical steps people can use right now? Plus, I want to hear from advocates pushing for better protection for the little guys.
Good. I don't want this to be fear for fear's sake. I want it to be about understanding the threat and how to push back.
Then, let's get into it.
Start with the owner. Her name is Sarah, and she runs a tiny independent floral shop. Weddings, funerals, the big moments that knit a community together.
A business built on trust.
Right. One Tuesday morning, an email lands in her inbox. Looks like it's from her main wholesaler. Subject line, urgent invoice discrepancy. She's swamped. A dozen orders to fill. So she clicks the attachment.
And right there, everything tilts.
That's the pivot point. Nothing obvious at first, but in the background, ransomware starts encrypting. Customer list, order history, accounting files. Years of work, locked away.
And then the demand. A countdown clock, a crypto wallet, pay now or else.
Exactly. What chilled her was how impersonal it felt. No masked villain, just a sterile window demanding money that for her might as well have been $1 million.
It's an invisible break-in, and it's happening at a staggering scale. The Internet Crime Complaint Center, back in 2018, was logging over 350,000 complaints a year. Nearly 1,000 a day.
1,000 Sarahs a day.
Yeah. And the losses they tallied were $2.7 billion, and that's only what got reported. A lot of owners never pick up the phone because they're embarrassed or feel helpless.
That shame was the thing she named first. She felt she'd failed her employees and customers. But this isn't about being foolish. The methods are sophisticated now. A long way from, say, a 1970s teller quietly skimming accounts.
Totally different universe. That was hands-on theft with a computer as a tool. Now it's a professionalized ecosystem. Malware developers, botnet operators, brokers selling stolen data. It's a supply chain, just a criminal one.
It's an industry. And it zeroes in on people like Sarah, because they're the path of least resistance.
And the attacks themselves evolved. You had the Melissa worm in 99, maximized spread. Then in 2000, Mafia Boy slams major sites with denial of service just to cause chaos. Yahoo, eBay, the works.
Right. Clout, mostly. Then the motivation shifts. Sony Pictures in 2014 becomes a turning point. Exposure and extortion. Not just stealing money. Turning a company's own data into leverage.
Which circles us back to Sarah's shop. Same playbook, smaller stage. It's not only you can't access your files. It's the implied, we've got your customer list, maybe their card info. What's your reputation worth?
Two fronts, operational paralysis and reputational harm.
And the people behind it are often untouchable. bouncing through countries with weak cybercrime enforcement, masking their trail across the globe. You can trace an IP and still end up at a dead end, just another compromised machine.
So, for Sarah, it's like fighting a ghost. No one to confront, no one to reason with. Just a wallet address and a ticking clock.
That breeds a brutal powerlessness, violated by someone you can't see, from somewhere you can't place, with almost no recourse. And we never really count that psychic damage in those billion-dollar loss figures.
That's the real weapon. Not just encryption, but isolation. So when she's staring at that screen, what's step one? Protocol? For most small shops, the answer is, there isn't one.
No playbook, no chief information security officer. Just adrenaline and a clock that keeps shouting at you.
And then, the choice. Law enforcement says, flatly, don't pay.
Easy to say when it isn't your life's work on the line, or the only copy of a client's wedding photos about to vanish.
The logic is real, though. Paying funds the next attack and proves the model works. Worse, there's no guarantee you get anything back. You're bargaining with criminals.
I hear that. And yet, put yourself in her place. If the demand is 10 grand and the cost of rebuilding is six figures, if rebuilding is even possible, the wrong choice can look like the only one that keeps the lights on.
So it's a forced bet. A guaranteed, maybe fatal loss versus a risky shot at survival that props up a criminal enterprise.
It's awful. My uncle, he paid. He was ashamed for months, told almost no one, felt like he failed. But payroll didn't pause, and those client tax documents were irreplaceable.
Did he get the data back?
He did. One of the lucky ones. But the aftershock stayed. For a year, every new mail chime made his stomach drop.
And the tactic keeps morphing. It's not just lock and ransom anymore, it's double extortion. First they steal a copy, then they encrypt.
That's brutal.
So the threat becomes pay or we leak your client's personal info, your financials, your employee records on the dark web.
Which means even good backups don't save you from the leverage.
Right. They hold your reputation. For a floral shop or an accounting firm, reputation is the currency.
So the choice gets sharper. You're protecting operations and trying to prevent a public shaming that can undo decades of trust.
And who do you call for guidance? Local police do their best, but they're not built to chase a transnational crew hopping through Eastern Europe.
So it's you, a frozen screen and a countdown. Every tick feels like a verdict on every decision you've ever made.
That isolation is part of the design. Make you feel alone and at fault.
When in reality, thousands are staring at that same screen, same dread, that same day.
So, what breaks the spell? How do you move from panic to action? We asked our expert, Dr. Anya Sharma. Her first move surprised me. Not flashy, not expensive.
Backups.
Backups, but offline. Disconnected. The number one mistake is leaving the backup drive plugged in. So the malware encrypts that too.
Of course. It's like leaving the spare key in the safe's lock.
Exactly. And turn on multi-factor authentication everywhere. Email, bank, cloud storage. Small hassle, huge barrier. These crews look for the easiest door.
It's almost irritating how effective the simple stuff is. We go hunting for exotic tech, and the wins are basic hygiene. Wash your hands, lock your front door.
That's the right frame. It turns the ghost in the machine into something you can manage. Not perfectly, but enough to matter.
I still worry about the arms race. Even if you do it all, they innovate. Are we just stuck living with that?
On some level, yeah. But the fix isn't only technical, it's cultural. We have to strip out the shame your uncle felt, the shame Sarah felt, and build networks where an owner can say, this just happened, without getting judged.
That lands. My takeaway is more personal. We can't be passive with tech anymore. Whether you run a shop or just scroll at night, you need a baseline grasp of the risks. Be an active participant in your own security.
A standing dose of skepticism for every email, every link.
A very healthy dose. Not just defense, awareness, humming in the background.
It's a heavy one, but essential. I'll drop the resources we discussed, including a checklist based on Dr. Sharma's advice, into our notes.
I'll comb through them later and check your backups.